And then I asked myself, which one of the Wasp Lords did I kill, Riley? Was it the Master or was it the Apprentice? And then the next morning, I'm pretty sure it was the Apprentice that I killed because the Master was up in the light building a nest. And then 2 days later, there were seven of these wasps. And I'm like, when do we go from rule of two to the one Sith and they're everywhere? I mean, I had them on the ground. I'm like, whoa, these little wasp lords are everywhere. They're mad. They're angry. And I get a little paranoid when I'm here. You know how like when you hear about somebody's got like a flea or something like that, or a kid comes home from school and, oh, there's an outbreak of head lice, and you immediately start to itch. Like, I'm that way, like looking around, like I have a feeling one's going to land on my back. Like, I constantly am like, these little wasps are coming to kill me. They want me dead. And it is not good. But that's okay, because you are listening to the Star Wars Report. And it is not Riley talking. It is Mark. What? The defender of the EU is in charge? What? What's going on? It's not quite true. Bethany is actually keeping our Bothans in line down at the cloning facility. Riley has been taking on every single villain he can in a screaming match. And unfortunately, it has taken its toll. So I am kind of like doing the heavy lifting, as it were, today. So don't worry about that. This is the Star Wars Report. I am here. This is Mark. Riley is here, even though you're not hearing him. He is kind of mumbled.
I will speak for just a brief moment, Mark, while we're doing this cold opening, just to thank you for doing it, because, yeah, my voice is pretty much shot, as the listeners can tell, and I could not stick around for a whole hour. But, Mark, we got some great stuff on tap for this episode, so why don't you tell the good folks what they're going to hear?
We do. We've got some continued Dragon Con coverage from last year's Dragon Con. Riley and Bethany were able to hit the course. They hit the con hard. They were able to get some interviews, a lot of really fun interviews, a lot of stuff that's not quite Star Wars, but that's okay. We're fans of a lot of stuff. You know, we like to keep it geek here at the Star Wars Report. We got a lot of Battlestar Galactica interviews today. We've got, let me go back here. We've got Michael Trucco, who is Sam Anders, wonderful character there. We also have Jamie Bammer, Captain Lee Apollo. We have James Callis, Gaius Baltar, everybody's favorite little demigod or whatever he had going on there as that show kind of continued on. I'm a big Battlestar Galactica fan. Not going back to the classic stuff, but I was slow to get into the remake, so when that show got going, I was like, woo, let's do this. I'm so glad that the Blanton pack was able to enjoy it as well, kind of step into there. I know, Riley, you finally got to Firefly, so you know, we're starting to round you guys out in the full geek circle here.
Yes,
it's kind
indeed.
Of a good times here at the Star Wars Report.
Yes, indeed. And so I think on that note, thanks for the introduction, Mark, and keeping me from having to use my terrible voice too much. So on that note, we will begin episode 84 of the Star Wars Report podcast.
This is the Star Wars Report's continuing coverage of Dragon Con 2012.
We're here with Mr. Richard Hatch. Welcome to DragonCon. Of course, I should be saying that. This is my first year.
Well, you're doing a good job. Sounds like you know what you're doing.
So say we all. So say we all. So say we all. So say we all.
And just a bit outside. It's like, I'm going to commentate.
Currently, 25 degrees here at the studio.
Exactly. Ooh, low and away from all three.
We are talking to the one and only Anders himself, as you know, from Battlestar Galactica. Michael, my name's Riley, and this is my sister Bethany.
Hi, Bethany.
Thank you so much for giving us a couple minutes, because this is Saturday at Dragon Con. As our listeners know, we've been doing continuing coverage, some of these interviews. And,
this is ground
been...
zero, man. This is central command right here
exactly.
of Dragon Con.
It's
it is
rough.
Going on right
have
now.
You been, have you stayed pretty busy throughout the day?
I have, yeah. Saturday always picks up. It was busy yesterday, but there was this morning, there was this nice lull, and then there was apparently a parade, and once that parade ended,
there was
just this rush, and it came in, and it was really intense.
Yeah, you'll get 20,000 people downtown Atlanta, but I know every time we've come through the main hall here, you guys are busy, all the Battlestar guys, and yeah. is that a surprise to you that the series is still this popular?
Yeah, it actually is. I had this conversation earlier that this far down the line, we've been off the air now for, you know, a good 5-6 years.
Yeah.
It surprises me because we've been off the air, but what I've discovered is that we've gotten more, our audience has grown exponentially in DVD Afterlife.
Sure, yeah.
And Netflix and Hulu and all those places, you know, that you can get it. So I'm finding that we're actually, our audience is growing. So in some ways, it's not a surprise, you know.
I know, and that's exactly how me and my sister experienced it about this time last year, was we discovered the series that our friends told us about, Battlestar, that we should totally watch on Netflix. And we did. And
right on.
We got through it in a pretty short period of time, actually.
That's the way to go
through
it.
But I wanted to ask you a specific character question.
Are these lovely ladies waiting? Oh, okay. Oh. Yeah, well, all right. We're just on live TV right now, live air. We're on the radio. It's just crazy. It's going on right now. Okay, sorry.
No. I know you're really busy, but I wanted to ask you a couple character questions. When you approached in Battlestar Galactica, your character specifically had a very unique relationship with Katie Sackhoff's character, Kara. Would you mind talking a little bit about how you approached that and some behind the scenes?
Well, it was a flawed relationship in a lot of ways, and it was a non-traditional relationship, as the moderator put it today at our panel. In that it seems the roles were sort of flipped. It was Anders being the one who was hanging on to the relationship, the love, if you will, whereas traditionally it's in entertainment and film and television, the woman is the one pining after the man, and the man is the one I've got to go off and do my thing, and the woman says, I'll be here for you. And it became kind of more the role of Anders to be the one who was carrying a torch for Kara.
Yeah,
it was a slightly dysfunctional relationship, but I liked it because it was messy, it was complicated, it was real, and it confused the hell out of me, man. So when I played it, I didn't really know what kind of choices to make as an actor. So I ran on that. I just said, you know, take the confusion, take the mess that this is, and build off of that, because I don't know exactly if it ever came off right at the time. Let's just put it this way: I was never very certain of the performance. Which I think is a good thing for an actor, to be constantly on your heels, be caught slightly off guard, never get too comfortable, because then that's where you start to fall into certain traps. And I never knew what I was doing. I wasn't sure what that relationship was. So I think it worked. I hope it did.
I think it did.
Yeah.
I was wondering, how do you approach playing a character that's ongoing in a TV series that's 4 seasons, a long-running character versus, say, a character you play just a couple of times in a TV series, a short-term character?
Well, the character grows with you through a long-term series, to the point where you sort of morph into the character, or more correctly, the character morphs into you. Ultimately, we all bring, as actors, some semblance of ourselves in every character we play. That's the reason people watch Jack Nicholson, because he can't alienate himself, he can't divorce himself from his own personality. He's captivating, no matter what. Every role you ever see Jack Nicholson, he's done a whole gamut, and he's an excellent actor, but there's always a little Nicholson. There's always a little De Niro. There's always a little Meryl Streep. And I don't even pretend to be in the same league with them, but you invariably bring your own self into your characters. And as the season goes on, it gets more comfortable. You start to literally wear the character like a suit, a comfortable suit. It's like a leather jacket. It gets broken in a little bit. So you sit down in the makeup chair, you look at your script the night before, you get this. You look at the scenes you're doing today, and there's a comfortability that builds, that you know how this character talks, you know how this character walks, you know what this character thinks, and it just grows. You know, when you first come on, the hardest thing as an actor is to do a guest star on somebody else's show.
Because
you don't know the dynamic. You're not really familiar with your own. You know, you come on and play somebody's husband. You're like, well, hold on. What? I don't even know this other actor. You know, what's our backstory? It can be confusing and a little bit daunting.
Yeah.
So I like to do a character for a nice long run. But that's the trick, is finding a show that will continue to run.
I guess it would be more comfortable doing it that way.
Yeah.
What, from your point of view, are the pros and the cons of being an actor?
I see you look there. There's some stories just came up.
No,
yeah.
I mean, listen, let's be honest. We're sitting here currently in the throes of the pros of this job. I mean, this is one of the greatest things in the world, is to get to be able to do this, to actually make an impact on somebody's life. I sit here, I take photographs with people who are physically shaking. They're having a visceral reaction to meeting you. And it goes beyond that initial, the celebrity fascination. It's that they're associating us with a character that, with a show, with entertainment that moved them in some way.
Definitely.
That's incredibly captivating, to be able to get to be a part of something like that. The cons of the job is that there's no tenure. You know, there's no... You get to certain points. There are obviously actors that you reach a level where the jobs just start falling into your lap. But for the most of us, you never know when the next one's coming.
Yeah.
And you never know how long it's going to last. And I don't recommend it for people who are squeamish or don't have thick skin, because you get a lot of rejection in this world. I mean, I've said this, is that, you know, you're your own salesman. My product is me. This is the 2012 version of Michael Trucco. If I was a vacuum salesman, I'd be selling you this. Or if I was a car salesman, I could blame the car if it doesn't sell. I go, well, it's a piece of it's got bad brakes and nobody likes the, you know, the design. But when you go into a room and you sell yourself and they're not buying, you walk out and they're
Michael, we know you've got a line here and got a couple more people to talk to, but I do want to say this, as the fans of the show and the people listening, we want to thank you for giving a few of your minutes. And we do appreciate you. We know you're an actor, but you brought an amazing character to life in an incredible TV series. So thanks for your time.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Michael Trucco. I play Samuel T. Anders on Battlestar Galactica. You're listening to The Star Wars Report.
All right, guys, this is our continuing coverage of Dragon Con. We're so glad to be now talking to the one and only Captain Apollo himself, Jamie Bamber. Thank you so much for giving us a couple minutes.
I'm actually not the one and only, because there's actually Richard Hatch right next to me.
The one and only, I should specify, from the reimagining.
He's like pretending to do push-ups.
Ladies and gentlemen,
check him out.
Richard Hatch.
Hi,
how you doing? He's standing on the floor while doing...
Richard!
Okay.
Doing some Pilates, Richard Hatch. But
you ever seen this guy without a shirt on? I'll never take my shirt off again.
Not that we made a habit of it before.
Now I know.
Well, what about that guy?
Wow, we should have had four mics.
That was the
I'll
whole.
Tell you what, we're limited. We could have done a big round table. But Jamie, I'm so glad you gave us a couple minutes, and I'd love to talk to you about your character in Battlestar Galactica, Captain Apollo, and specifically how you worked with, as you lovingly called him in some of your panels, Eddie. You had some very interesting anecdotes. I'd love for you to share us what it was like behind the scenes as you were approaching your character.
Well, you know, Eddie is one of my dearest friends now, but at the beginning he was intimidating and very much the alpha male, and you know, he let us know that he was watching every single daily that we did, and we had to raise our game just to be worthy of his presence. And thank God he did that, because he really instilled in us you know, a sense of the seriousness of this show, which could have been a goofy sci-fi show, but he was adamant that we were making a piece of television that was going to be a serious piece of work. And he's an Academy nominee, and so's Mary, and you know, they were very much the tone, and they created a family, and they were wonderful people to work with, and they've inspired me and everything else I do to make sure that, you know, you bring that sense of love to every job that I do, and they're wonderful.
Well, they did seem to add that kind of sense of purpose to it, to where they really seemed to take it seriously. And did any of you guys kind of have an idea as you were doing it that you might be at a convention 4 years later and have people coming by?
I had no idea. But I was pretty naive, I think, at the beginning. We didn't know what we were doing. You know, we had a mini series. It had no guarantee of being a series, and almost wasn't a series. So, looking back on it, it's extraordinary where it's led.
Yeah, it's really neat. This is something that I enjoy asking different actors and actresses. But what do you enjoy most and dislike about being an actor, being in that career field?
What I enjoy most is actually the acting. It's great fun being able to experience a whole bunch of different situations more than any one life would ever lead you to. The annoying thing about it is the being an actor, which is slightly a slightly craven career. And it's the older I get and the more sure of myself I get, the less I like the whole idea of auditioning.
Okay.
And
that makes sense.
Lining up. And
it does seem to be kind of volatile sometimes.
Well, it's volatile, but it's also very needy, and I hate that idea of it.
Sure, sure. But also, on your, I'd love for our listeners to hear a little bit about what you're currently doing.
I'm doing a new show called Monday Mornings, which is a David E. Kelly medical drama based on a Sanjay Gupta novel, and it's fantastic. I'm very, very excited about it. I'm working with wonderful people, and I can't wait to get going.
Awesome. Well, when will that be airing? Do we know yet?
I think in February. I think.
Awesome, awesome. We'll be sure to link you up on the website when we post this interview.
Yeah, please do.
Is there anything else you'd like to say to the listeners before you go?
No, other than thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time, Jamie.
You're welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has left the building. Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Let's get started. All right. We're doing our continuing Dragon Con coverage, and I'll tell you what, this is the last day, and we are now talking to Guy Spalter himself, James Callis. James, I'm Riley. It's good to meet you, and this is my sister, Bethany.
Hi, Bethany. How are you recording this?
We're recording this just like right into our local digital audio recorder. Oh, do we get to show off the gear?
Yeah, here we go. Let's see the high-tech gear right
now. Oh, yeah. Lots of wires.
That's really fun
to get through airport security with this stuff. I'll tell you what. But James, how have you been?
I've been good. How have you been?
We've been pretty good. Have you enjoyed the con so far?
I have. Does anybody not enjoy the con?
Well, I don't know. Sometimes on the last day, people get pretty tired. But
right.
People have been very nice for the most part. But have you had a lot of Battlestar fans coming by?
We have.
What's that like? How have they been treating you here in Atlanta?
Actually, it's always great. And people are very, what's the word? Appreciative, and they love the show, and that's it, really.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
We've talked to some of your castmates this weekend, and
I saw
last year we came, and we were only about halfway through the series at the time.
Uh-huh.
And we had talked to Mr. Edward James Olmos at the time, and Michael Hogan, and they had some fun with us because they knew we didn't know the end, but we do now, and it's quite an arc. So I do want to ask you about your character, Gaius Baltar, and we've attended some of the panels, really enjoyed them. And one question I was fascinated by was how you approached the vastly different incarnations of the character as he evolved through the series. Would you mind touching on that a little bit?
When you say how, what do you mean? How did I approach?
Well, you had the kind of religious leader, and then you had where you're very, very kind of sacred, and then you would have the more evil end of Gaius, but then also the more.
When you say evil end, what is the more evil end?
Well, when I'm talking about I see the scientist that's Gaius Baltar, but then you kind of, at the beginning, feel like, oh, he betrayed humanity. And then you kind of go into a lot more. But how did you approach the character that way?
Acting's all about belief.
Okay.
So it doesn't really matter what the thing is. It's about conviction. So as long as you've got the conviction, then it's going to read through whether you're... You know, whether Gaius Baltar becomes a tap dancer or whatever it might be, it's belief. And on that level, it's not really how I approach the show. So many things in the show set you up whereby it feels totally comfortable to be doing this. It's like if I was just this religious leader and whatever by myself, maybe that'd be difficult. It's not. There's like 100 people in the room who are all like bowing down. That becomes part of the reality.
Sure, sure.
It leads. It's part of, you know, you're not just a scientist, whatever. So you've got a lab, a laboratory with all of these things to play with and look at. Your reality is enhanced by the set and the other people around you. And on some level, I had a big thing years ago. We won some award in France. And Jamie was talking about how he approaches the character and what he has to do to get into the character. It was in fluent French, because Jamie speaks fluent French.
Oh wow!
And I just didn't want to be left out. I think, but he gave a very, very involved answer, and my answer was je me lève et je suis Gaius, which is like I get out of bed and I'm Gaius Baltar. It's not like I've done a lot of preparation. Just, you know, roll up and that's about it.
Okay, that's cool. I was wondering, on the set of Battlestar Galactica, what was it like playing a fairly main character for ongoing for four seasons and a miniseries. So you play a character that's a long-lasting character. Do you treat a character that you play for a long time differently than you would treat other characters that you play?
It's not really what you treat, it's how you feel. In the sense of, and a huge part of my life has been playing this role with these people. There was certainly a point where I, at some point during the show, I just wanted to get away from him. Really. Really, really. After like all of the, excuse my French, all the shit he's been through and all the muck he's spread out. It's like his soul was so defiled. And there were points like being tortured continuously and torturing myself where I just honestly didn't want to look in the mirror. I'm like, I don't want to see this man. And then it was a long time, like about, I'd say, 3 months afterwards, I was like, yes, he's gone. No longer see.
You kind of had that separation.
In the mirror. So it's not how you treat it. It's like it just becomes part of the fabric of your life. And this was a strange show because we never left it alone. I mean, when we stopped filming, we were talking about what we were going to do in the next episode. We're all round at each other's house.
Yeah.
All of the time. How our wives and the other husbands stuck up with us. They were like, can you shut up about being show? You film it for like 17 hours in the day and then you come home and you're talking about the next episode and what you're going to be doing and it's going to be really great. We were kind of, we were obsessed with it ourselves, creating it. You couldn't leave it alone. I mean, really, that's what you're seeing when you're watching the thing. You're watching a cast of people who were in love with being on that show.
And you can tell.
It was like also, we shot up in Vancouver kind of for ourselves, by ourselves, like play for today. Every week, we're doing something for ourselves, like our own little theatre group. What are we going to do? And that's an extraordinary experience. I haven't done anything like that.
Wow. Well, I know, I do have one final question. You mentioned Gaius Baltar and how you said defiled us all. That's very profound, and I think a lot of, as fans of the show, when we watch it, I can't help but look at that man and say, there are a lot of heroes, a lot of villains, a lot of conflicted characters, but Gaius... I look at him and say, you know what, but the problem is I think I might actually do that if I were in his position. And he's always seems to be stuck between a rock and a hard place. But there was that one thread of sanity that seemed to keep him whole as a character, and that was the number six, or Trisha Helfer. And we talked to her last year a little bit when she came through. But could you talk a little bit about the chemistry there and what how you guys approach your roles?
She was a bad robot.
Yes, she was.
She was a very bad, naughty robot. And I just love working with Trisha. And, I think it's kind of funny that you said there's a sanity running through it because, like, he's insane, guys. and the sixth part of it is part of his insanity rather than his sanity. But yeah, she kept him company for the journey in his head. Otherwise, it would have been terribly lonely. I just loved... I loved acting opposite Trisha. Acting is... it's really about listening.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, it's really listening. So that when you look at somebody's eyes, you see that they get it.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't. They're not interested in listening. They're like, I've got my line. Like that. Somebody says something bad, like, fuck that. I've got my line, and whatever. Actually, acting is about listening to each other. And I found...
Maybe that's why it's such a rare human skill.
Well,
I found
it to be... That's where a chemistry comes from.
Yeah.
When you can take in somebody else and you really listen to them. And we never acted at each other. We acted with each other.
Yeah, and it shows. It definitely shows.
Now, I was wondering for a non-Battlestar question. I read on the internet, which you know is always true.
Yes.
That you were an avid fan of rugby or a rugby player earlier. Do you still play?
I haven't played in years, but I played for my... I mean, what's interesting is at school, I came from quite a rugby school, and at school I was like in the fourth 15. You know, like there's the first, the second, the third. Like by the end of that, the fourth 15, it's like... what's the word? It's like more karate than rugby on the pitch. But at university, I played for the university team because I don't know why. It was just fewer of us. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I love that game and I loved playing it.
Awesome. Well, James, we know you've got a line and it's busy in your last day, but thank you so much for your time.
Pleasure. Thank you for your patience and waiting as well.
Hi, my name is James Callis. I play Gaius Baltar on Battlestar Galactica. You're listening to the Star Wars Report.